T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ready?
Are you ready?
Get ready!
3, 2, 1,
ready?
Yes!
We're ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay, I'm ready.
KMOX News Time is 8:32, and welcome to Overtime for Wednesday, the 25th of March. And like many of you who are working from home, working remotely, this is day one of our remote overtime, because joining us from the comfort of his, I'm guessing, your immaculate home studio, it's Charlie Brennan.
Well, you don't know me if you think it's immaculate, but it is my home studio, which also serves as an office. And how does it sound?
Sounds great.
Wow. Technology.
I know. The magic of technology brings us Amy Markscores from her home studio. Good morning.
That's right. My home studio is multi-purpose. It's a family room. It's kind of a kitchen. It's a studio. And I just want to let everybody know, I know you all wake up and turn on Total Information AM and hear the voice of Debbie Monterey. And it's like a ray of sunshine and a cup of coffee. Not only do I do that in the morning, but I have the privilege of driving to the studio and then working with Debbie. And let me tell you, I am feeling the loss of not seeing Debbie's face. She is just as pleasant and joyful to work with as you probably all think she is when you hear her voice. And so that's the loss I'm feeling this
week. Hear, hear.
You are so sweet. You know, I feel like if we weren't practicing social distancing, I should just take Amy Markscores with me everywhere I go, because she always says such nice things to me. She makes me, she's like my personal, you know, hype girl. I love
they're
it.
They're all deserved. And so that's why I felt like I let people know that, like, Debbie is my second cup of coffee in the morning. I show up and I'm like, all right, let's get started.
I think,
and Debbie,
I think
are you in the studio today?
I am in the studio. I am all by myself right now running all of the controls. I run this place now. It's
oh
mine.
My gosh.
Debbie Industries, Debbie Radio Industries.
It's true. No, it's very interesting times, and it's just amazing how everyone in the country is just trying to make it work. You know, we're all trying to make this work. And finally, in Congress, they made it work. You guys, yesterday, they struck a deal. Actually, it might have even been early this morning. I'm not even sure when it all came down. But a $2 trillion government relief bill. And the legislation is the biggest economic stimulus package in modern American history. It dwarfs the $800 billion stimulus passed in 2008 during that financial crisis. The aim here is to deliver critical financial support to businesses forced to shut their doors and to give relief to American families and also hospitals that are reeling from the rapid spread of coronavirus. Charlie, your initial thoughts on the bill and what it contains?
Well, it's hard to say, you know, because let's face it, it was rushed through, purposely so, not because everyone wanted to be careless, but because time was of the essence. And it is, as Lawrence Kudlow said yesterday in his press conference with the president and others, and you did too, it's the biggest Main Street assistance program in our country's history. So there are going to be some things that we're going to find in there that we're not going to like. I mean, let's just predict that right now. We don't know exactly what's in there. We have the broad general guidelines. We know that the Treasury Secretary will be able to dole out $500 billion, but we're also told now that there's going to be an Inspector General and an Oversight Committee, something we didn't have 2 days ago. But let's face it, in a month or two or three in a year, we're going to find out that there are some things in there that are not to our liking, Nonetheless, we've got to hold our nose and go with it because the times call for it.
Yeah, there's definitely a feeling of desperate times call for desperate measures. I think there are a lot of positives, and you have to do what you have to do to help the American people right now, because the governments, both federal, state, local, are asking the economy to just shut down, to just stop. And that's a huge ask of the American people. So it looks like the big headline tickets are in there with approximately, they didn't disclose the exact details, but say 1,000 to 1,200 to many Americans. There is an assistance cap at certain income levels. Charlie, you mentioned the $500 billion in corporate aid. And I think it's key to note, we talked about this yesterday with Leland Vittert, that there is a culpability factor here. This is why it's different than 2008. In 2008, a lot of businesses made bad decisions. This time around, it's no American government or corporations' fault. We also see some aid, $350 billion loans to small businesses, and then more investment in the healthcare system. So a lot of good, but it will be interesting to see some of the details that were sneaked in at the last minute.
One interesting thing is the comments that have been made in the past day that are kind of, I think, giving older Americans the feeling that they should be willing to sacrifice their lives to keep the economy going. We had President Trump yesterday saying that he would like to get everything back running by Easter time. And then the lieutenant governor of Texas saying that basically grandparents like him don't want to sacrifice the country's economy and should go back to work and then fend for themselves. Then we had Glenn Beck say on his show, here's a comment from Glenn Beck.
I would rather have my children stay home and all of us who are over 50 go in and keep this economy going and working. Even if we all get sick, I'd rather die than kill the country.
And I think it was Britt Hume on Tucker Carlson last night who defended the lieutenant governor's comments, said that they got very positive responses from the lieutenant governor of Texas's comments and that it was a reasonable statement. Any thoughts on where we're heading with this, that we're encouraging older people, I guess, to get sick and sacrifice themselves, Amy?
Yeah, I don't like those comments. I think they're irresponsible. They're not necessary. I think in a lot of ways it forces a false dichotomy that you can kill older people or kill the economy. Take your choice. Well, no. First of all, we've got to make a decision to flatten the curve and get our medical fields, our healthcare providers, give them a fighting chance to take care of those who are sick. Because the people who are so flippant going, "Oh yeah, I'd rather die," are they thinking about the doctors who are going to have to make those decisions on who to give the ventilators to? You think that's an easy decision for a doctor? So I think that's incredibly careless to say that. I don't think it's careless to talk about how we're going to restart the economy. What is our exit strategy? I think that's only responsible. No, it can't be a big opening day on Easter. Everybody go back to normal. I think it needs to be a soft open, and maybe you look at certain businesses that open. Maybe you do look at demographics and you look at the most vulnerable and say, okay, right now, those with underlying conditions, those who are older, we suggest you stay home. We're going to soft open the economy. You know, look at an exit strategy. But to make those type of statements, I think, is irresponsible.
Well, this might be surprising to people, but I really don't follow Glenn Beck, and I didn't even know that he was still around, let alone finding a quote from this guy. But here's what's happening right now. They're taking a look at the numbers, which we didn't really have because we don't and didn't have much testing. As we get more and more testing out of Europe and elsewhere, we're finding that this COVID-19 does prey on certain individuals more than others. For example, no child under 14 has died or hadn't as of a day or so ago. When it comes to the Gen Zs and millennials, well, less than 1% of the mortality in Europe is for those under 50 years old. So I think some people, I don't know about Glenn Beck, so I'm not referring to him, but some people are saying, does it make sense to quarantine the entire world if we know that the majority of mortality cases are people who are over 60 and have three or more pre-existing conditions? Do you shut down all the economies at this point when you're starting to learn the coronavirus doesn't affect all people equally? And some people are also saying, look, you shut down the economy for healthcare reasons. Don't forget, unemployment and poverty also result in healthcare concerns like opioid abuse, alcoholism, domestic abuse, not to mention suicide and street crime. So I think it is an important discussion to have, but until we have enough ventilators and hospital beds, we really have to be as cautious as possible. And that means we got to be separated from each other until we have those ventilators, until we have the masks, until we have hospital beds, which they don't have in New York City and elsewhere. So I think for right now, let's keep following everything, but keep the discussion going.
KMOX News Time is 8:43. It is overtime for Wednesday morning. And joining us from their remote locations at their home studios, it's Charlie Brennan and Amy Mark Scores. Okay, this is something that people haven't talked about as much, you guys. Just another fallout from this whole coronavirus thing. A lot of people are spending an awful lot of time together. And while some couples can work together and really, you know, everything works out great, I think a lot of people are finding all this together time is not a great thing. In fact, there are reports out of China that say divorce rates are rising since many people have been quarantined in close quarters, which creates an especially inflammatory environment for marital feuding. Amy Mark Scores, do you... I guess it makes complete sense. Everybody's cooped up together. But do you think that we may be starting to see similar reports go across Europe and across the United States as well?
You know, it's interesting. I feel like no marriage will be the same. And it's something like this that is either going to absolutely bind you together or it's going to drive a wedge between the two parties. So it is kind of interesting how our whole culture has changed, and there it's giving rise to this corona economy, is what I'm calling it. This, you're seeing different commercials. The commercials now are for games, right? And it shows all these families at home playing games. And you're also seeing a rise in divorce law commercials. So I would hope, I want to be positive and hope that this, we don't see a spike in divorce rates, and maybe we'll see people mending things and forced to talk about things that they've been pushing down for a long time. So I'm going to knock on wood, but I imagine no family or couple will emerge from this quite the same.
It actually might depend on the number of square feet in the house.
Yeah.
The more room you have to kind of do your own thing, maybe the better off it is. I don't know. In our case, our situation has, I think, been improved by two kids being home. Now, I feel very bad for all the college kids who are missing their spring semester, but around here, it's kind of delightful. I mean, we have a daughter who likes to cook a lot of meals, and our son keeps us apprised of this and that. And, you know, we had been empty nesters, and now we've got two kids who we love in the house. And, hey, I'm just trying to look for a silver lining here, folks. It ain't all that bad. Trust me, I know college kids would much rather be with their friends in the dorms.
Yeah, I think also the divorce rate might depend on the economy as well. Or what did you call it, Amy? The
Corona economy.
Corona economy. Because yeah. If you're very wealthy and you decide you're going to split up and you know, you're fine, it's easier than if you don't have a lot of money and you don't know how you could possibly survive on your own. And if people are out of jobs and out of work and they're concerned about how they'd pay the mortgage, let alone, a second residence, I think that might have a lot to do with whether people end up splitting.
Well, and also, and I would think if the Vegas, you know, the bettors, the gambling, if they're looking for something to bet on, Chris Burke, an avid listener, had a great idea. Do you think there's going to be a spike in the birth rates in 9 months?
Could be.
Like we said, a lot of people in close quarters. Well, Charlie, you mentioned college students missing their spring semester, but that's not necessarily the case at Liberty University. Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr. confirmed that their school is reopening this week despite distancing guidelines from the state of Virginia. I think they're in Lynchburg, Virginia, and the city there says that they're getting all kinds of complaint calls because all these college students are coming back. Who knows, maybe from Florida where they were hanging out getting coronavirus. I think we, in a way, are protecting the students by having them on campus together, Falwell said in a statement. Charlie, are you surprised by that, and is that a good idea?
I am surprised because Don't forget, everyone can get this, even though for 85% of Americans or so, the symptoms are really mild. So he's kind of conducting an experiment with human beings, which I think is a bit risky. I wouldn't have suggested it. And I think just by the very fact that he's the only school doing it in the nation tells you something about his choice.
Yeah, not great. Not a great look for Jerry Falwell and Liberty University, because there is, well, first, you want to be safe. I think it's a bad decision as far as health goes. I would be upset if I lived in the vicinity, if I lived in Virginia. It's a bad decision. But let's say that it's an okay decision. There's no fallout from this. I do think optics matter and unity matters at a time like this. And it just seems that Jerry Falwell and Liberty University is being unnecessarily contrarian.
Yeah. And also, don't forget, you can be young and having an underlying condition, meaning that you're very susceptible to this. It could be diabetes. It could be previous bouts of leukemia or whatever. And it seems to me that those individuals should definitely not return to Liberty.
KMOX News Time is 8:49. When we come back, we'll talk more about some big names who say they have coronavirus. They've tested positive. Stay with us here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
It's 8:53. It's round three of OT. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks Kors. There are other things going on in the world, believe it or not, aside from coronavirus. Some things are still happening, including the site preparation and construction for the downtown Major League Soccer Stadium. It's moving forward. There are precautions in place, of course, and an understanding that the current plans could change. If you drive down Market Street or Olive in downtown West, you can see a bunch of heavy equipment there as they're moving the earth. Amy, should they stop construction while all of this is going on? Any problems with things moving forward?
Well, I don't think so, assuming all precautions and protocol are being taken in that construction zone. I think it's encouraging for people to see some life moving forward, things going on as normal, and knowing that the economy isn't completely shut down. So assuming the workers are safe and protocols are being followed, I don't think I have a problem with it. And my goodness, they closed down my favorite exit on 40, so I'm glad that they're moving forward. I love that 20th Street exit.
Yeah, I miss it too, alas. You know, construction is one of those industries where you don't really work within 6 feet of other people all the time. Now, there might be times when you do that, but in this case, Debbie, I assume these guys know what they're doing. Guys and gals know what they're doing and will be as safe as possible.
I think it's actually a great time to do construction, especially road construction. Right. I drive in from South City on 44 into downtown every day, and it's like a maze when you get close to Jefferson, because I think they're taking down that whole bridge or something, but you never know what it's going to look like each morning. It's like, oh, I'm going this way now. And it turns out they're closing the entire Jefferson ramp starting Monday, which is going to be, I thought, oh, this will be terrible for traffic. Oh, wait, no, I guess. What a better time to take down an entire overpass and a ramp, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's think about it. You know, when it comes to construction, you see these guys and gals working, and, you know, they might be separated. But there are some industries, and I think Dave Cook of the United Food Commercial Workers mentioned that today. I mean, you're a checker at a grocery store. Often you're coming pretty close to your to another stranger every 3 or 4 minutes. So, you know, I think there are other industries that worry me more than construction.
Yeah, they are actually installing some plexiglass plating around the checkout. I have not been to my neighborhood Schnucks recently to check that out for myself, but it's sort of like they're in a salad bar behind the sneeze plate, which
sure,
I guess.
Good way to put it.
Yeah. So we had stories this morning, too, about how Governor Parson still has not declared grocery store workers and other retail workers essential personnel, which would help them to get a coronavirus test sooner. We'll continue to follow that story for you, too. But we have to go. We'll have news at the top. And then Amy and Charlie, your first show coming from different locations. Can you give us a 10-second tease on what's coming up, Charlie?
You betcha. Dr. Fred Buchholz returns. He's going to answer our questions about COVID-19. Also this morning, Dr. Gregory Storch on some of the advances that might be helping people in this age of coronavirus.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.